Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking fear of a big crash. Now, me personally, I like, you know, the roller coaster experience. But whether it be through investing or, you know, betting on a game or something, or that big drop on the roller coaster, I don't really think any of us like that big fear of a crash feeling. And I don't know if any of you out there, you know, follow precious metals or real money markets, but gold is almost at $3,000 an ounce now. Silver is almost over $35 an ounce now. And it just kind of really got me, you know, wondering what's going to happen with our nation's, you know, money systems. You know, we're trillions of dollars in debt, the most the nation's ever been in its history. And we just continue to print more money and send it, you know, overseas to this nation or that nation, anyone who claims to be in need. We're the handout. And I kind of wondered, are we due for a crash that, you know, we're really not prepared for? Are we easing into one, or are we going to be swept away like some totally unprepared? Jeff?
I think we all, to some degree, have been inducted into what they call normalcy bias, where we have experienced for so long, this has always been, and so our assumption is it'll always be.
Well, and what's kind of, I don't want to say frustrating, but it's just like sometimes I go, man, maybe I'm just wrong about thinking there's going to be a crash, is that I would have thought it would have happened quite some time ago based on what we're looking at in terms of our country anyways, of I don't know how this can continue.
Yeah, I know there's been warnings for how many decades now that this is unsustainable. But it happened when I came today. I heard all these generators running. The power was out. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a form of a crash. Now, they could fix it. And that's what we're seeing with our government. They keep coming in and sending in a new transformer.
It's just how many patches can you put in the ship until eventually one hole blows through it that's so big that they're like, we don't have a patch for this one.
And I guess that's, eventually you do run out of patches, right? If you tear a hole in your jeans, you can put a patch on it.
This is, we can't call Billy Mays in for the...
Right.
But what eventually, spray on the Flex Seal.
right. But eventually, you run out of original product to put the patch on. We're approaching that, and at some point, it's going to happen. And is this it? I have no idea. You don't know, but we know eventually the economists are agreeing it's going to happen. Every fiat currency eventually crashes.
How could this be the situation that we're in this debt? And silver is half of the all-time high it's ever been in history. So that kind of makes you go, all right, is this getting like suppressed or manipulated in some way? And then you also look at the fact of as we move about in this system and you look at all the debt we're in, and you just see us continue to endlessly print the money, you think of like, are they just running the top off of this broken system that they know is on the way down? Or do they think we just have a perfect system figured out of modern monetary theory that allows us to just endlessly print and we can kind of control and dictate how it's going to work?
Isn't that the question? What you're really asking is this a masterful manipulation and like the greatest heist ever where they're stealing from all the American people?
Right, because if it's on its way down, you're going to loot the treasure when you get off the ship, right?
Right. Or is it just that we are being led by a bunch of buffoons they're ignorant and they're just going to crash us because they're stupid? Which it's one of those, right? Maybe it's both. I don't know. Maybe we have some actual brilliant people. Because listen, our current president, he's not as bright as he once was. Okay. He's having a Toby Keith moment, right? And he's not the one leading this country. He may be the one signing the papers they put in front of him.
Man, I don't know. There's even question about that.
Are we being led by an unseen hand? I don't know. There was this one guy who warned about a military industrial complex. He tried to warn the American people. There's an unseen hand manipulating us and our leaders. And I think one guy may be trying to audit this other organization and whatever else. Something bad happened to him because he was onto the game and was trying to blow it wide open, and they blew him wide open.
Hmm.
Remember that? So anyway.
I do. But then you start to notice like similar patterns.
Yes.
To the
what's
same
going on
thing
right now.
Happening,
yeah.
Right now.
If you're in the know and you're going to change it, they're going to take you out. They're going to try and take you out. And so, again, I do think we have both. I think we have a bunch of puppets we call leaders today who are being manipulated by a more masterful, brilliant...
So they see them as basically useful idiots.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the rest of us follow the useful idiots because we're one and the same. Because
that's who we're given to follow.
Yeah,
so.
we're giving our consent to be governed by useful idiots, which makes us the same.
Then we're useful idiots.
Yeah, so we're just cruising along on the
And then
on
who,
the Titanic.
Anybody who says, like, man, I don't know, I'm not sure if that's exactly what they say it is, then you're the crazy one.
We're so impressed by our big boat that can never be sunk.
Yeah, I bet you they were too in 1912.
Normalcy bias right there, man. So yeah, but you know what? Here's the best part about this. I don't know how this is going to end with the currency, but I know how it's going to end the world.
Do you think it's something that will kind of just progress and over time, like maybe it started as something that looked really convenient as far as, oh, you could just maybe scan your palm print.
What's that? What is it called when a organization has a new phone? And there's like a pre-release, like not to the public, but they do that testing.
Yeah, they find their trial group, and I don't know what it's called either, but I know what you're talking about, where they kind of have an opportunity to sample their product out to a group of people, and then it really, you know, allows them to see, okay, this works good, this doesn't, maybe we have some bug fixes here and glitches there, et cetera, right?
Right. I mean, we're kind of accustomed to this today, but years ago, before they would release a conditioner or whatever, it had gone through animal trials and then people trials. Medication had this. Like, software is different because you're always getting updates, right? They find mm-hmm. exploits. And so the product's never 100% finished.
You know what's kind of interesting, though? Totally different subject field, but kind of a similar parallel you just gave me is all of those new updates they've been giving people to their bodies. And like, now you got to go back every 6 months and like coding software and DNA just kind of seem to have some similar the ways in which they're built. I almost feel like they're in some ways treating people almost like software programming or something.
You mean where the CRISPR stuff where they're
They just okay. People keep getting almost in some ways like a genetic update or something.
Well, that's what CRISPR and that technology line of thinking is going to supposedly offer is remove what they say is a predisposition to cancer or some genetic birth defect, and they'll be able to cut it out. Yes. And so you don't like your brown eyes? Here, you'll have blue eyes from now on.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think, I don't know how much of this technology, but parts of this technology have existed for quite a while. Cause I know I've heard in the past about celebrities talking about how they've basically picked out what their baby was going to look like before he was born.
What
like
they call those designer babies? Yeah. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I think that's
no,
what
you're right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can, like you just said, you can pick the hair color, the eye color.
Intelligence.
Like, man, that's kind of creepy.
Well, it does show, if you look past the veneer of what we're presented, there's a greater technology that we've reached that we're actually admitting that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not just talking in regard to medicine, but you could apply that to weather.
You know what's scary though is always when we get to hear about the technology that's had. Imagine the technology that exists that still we have now, but we don't know about.
Right. Well, the weapons of war right now. Supposedly, there's a laser now. We've all heard about the riots, and they were shining green lasers in the police officers' faces and blinding them. Mm-hmm. Now they got a laser that is invisible and does the same thing and burns your skin and your eyes, and you'll go blind.
I think they got those direct energy weapons.
Right,
I think they might burn more than your eyes.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, it can catch a car on fire, and or it could cause the woods to go on fire or a house to catch on fire. They have that, and there's what the military industrial complex has in its arsenal of what it can do, not only from a military standpoint, but from a control standpoint of a country. And there's what they allow us to know they can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of the stealth bomber. They denied it existed for how long, but people had pictures and whatever else. And they finally said, okay, you got us. Yeah, we really have that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get, like, obviously, everything's not for everybody, right?
Well, there's a benefit in knowing or saying that things are secret and keeping them a secret. For example, UFOs, or now they call them something else, UAVs. Most people understand that It's us. We're doing it. It's not alien. Mm-hmm. It's only alien to us because
It's technology we've never seen. Right.
Now, I'm not going to say that there aren't other beings that exist because angels are beings. And
oh, you were telling me about that when you were doing those mushrooms.
Sorry, we're back to the Mark of the Beast. Okay, so that product trial run that it goes through, if you can understand that, the same thing is what you're getting a description of in Revelation, but not just Revelation, all the way through the Bible. The Antichrist system had its first real go back with Nimrod and Babylon in Genesis.
And what way?
So he was a type and shadow of the Antichrist to come. And what you're going to find is there were many of those. Pharaoh was also a type of an Antichrist. And so it's these evil rulers who are controlling the known world at that time.
So now, do you think in the Antichrist that comes, do you think the best characteristics of these leader will all be seen in that leader?
Yes, their trial runs. In other words, it's like evil's trying to get it right.
Because we can't, even with all those people, although they were evil, we can't say they didn't have some characteristics of them that were led them to where they were, right?
Right. Or even some good traits. Sure. I mean, even Hitler loved his mother.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't...
That's a good trait.
I wouldn't have drinks with Bill Cosby, right. But he was still funny. I mean, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All these leaders were a trial run of the real evil behind it. Like, they were puppets, just as the Antichrist will be, possessed by the devil. But more importantly, the same is true for the Mark of the Beast. And all of these... There was plenty of product placement and trial run uses. For example, currency. For example, you're going to find the new push for the digital one, the CBDC, where they've got us used to being able to pay with our credit card using our hand or our phone. Well, what's they're going to sell it this way. Hey, look, what if you didn't have to swipe your hand with something in it? What if it's already in your hand that somebody can't steal? What if you get in a bad car accident and we can already know, oh, you're a diabetic. You don't got to tell us anything because you're unconscious. We already know.
We can just basically scan your QR code.
Right.
And we'll know everything we need to know
about. It's all for your safety.
You.
But in order to do that, you first have to pledge allegiance. You first have to bow to this system and say you're on board with this Antichrist system. Now, are they going to call it that? No.
Doesn't that honestly, though... The way that, like, doesn't that sound convenient?
It will be.
That sounds pretty good.
It's actually going to be harder to not. If you don't, you're going to lose everything. If you don't sign on to this, you'll lose your home. You'll lose your job. If you can imagine what happened to people with COVID.
Well, there you go. That's a good example of test. You didn't.
A test
there
run.
Were people who didn't do this and they did lose their
not
jobs.
Not everyone did, but many did.
Sure.
In fact, there are many who right now, I know of somebody who's was trying to immigrate to America, and they were not allowed to because they didn't meet the criteria of the preferred people.
Oh, that should have just came down through the South.
If they had done that, they could have. But they were trying to do it the legal way. But to do it, they first had to get a vaccine. Mm. And COVID's one of those. You've got to get the injection. And they were unwilling, and so guess what?
They couldn't come.
They're going to become a citizen of Canada instead. I think that's their current. They haven't yet, but they're trying.
How do they get it? Their policy seems like it'd be more stringent than ours.
Yeah, I don't know. There's loopholes in every system. They haven't worked out all the kinks yet.
I mean, there's an easy loophole in ours.
Yeah. But you have to go through the Darien Gap, and that's dangerous unless you're
unless you got like $10,000 and you're good.
You get or you're part of a plant system where you're actually there's a reason why you're fit and dressed a certain way like everybody else in your little group.
Oh.
Yeah. How do I say this? You know.
Fighting aged male?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to be careful. But no, listen, you're seeing a trial run being done, and eventually the day will come when all of this exploratory tests are done that it all comes together and becomes officially the Mark of the Beast. Until then, it's just infrastructure that it's built on.
So then how long can you, I guess the longer you kind of in some ways partake in the infrastructure, the closer you're getting to probably going along with that, right?
Yeah, but I don't know that you have a choice because...
Well, no, you don't. I mean, eventually, once you decide you're going to step out of that, that's when you are going to face those consequences.
That's basically what Revelation is telling you. Once it reaches this threshold, don't.
So it's kind of like stay in the boat till it's you realize the boat's underwater. It's time to get out.
You know, that's a great example. The Titanic. You didn't want to prematurely jump off the boat before it split in half and sank.
Well, right, because you'd have drowned in the cold water.
Right. So you got to stay. Right. You got to stay on and ride it down.
Until it's like, all right, now it's time to get off this boat.
Right.
Let's go.
Right.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Makes great sense, but if you're not paying attention, obviously you're going to see how like, oh, there's no water on this part of the boat, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
And I think some people are kind of planning this way. You know, when I was a kid, I thought of it this way. If a jet were ever to crash, like it were to, you know, lose lift and
yeah, I'm
going to
be out. I'm not alive.
No, I'm going to live. You know, I'm going to live. My plan as a child, now, I didn't understand physics and whatever. My plan was to look out the window, and just before the plane hits the ground, I'm going to jump. right now, I just got to jump in the air so the metal smashes on the ground, and then I land safely on top of the metal. I was a child, and I didn't get things. But there are many who are doing the same childish understanding with the mark of the beast. They're thinking, you know what? Just before Jesus comes, I'm going to get the mark of the beast so I can function. But then, just before he comes, I'm going to say, I want no part of this system. Take the chip out or whatever it's going to be, the mark.
Right.
Take it out. And I still belong to Jesus. And the Bible's clear. Nope. Once you get the mark, that's it.
Well, the reason, and if you think about just on another level, take the spiritual aspects out of it and just think of it from a pure, if you wanted to misuse authority level, you have a chip inside you. I mean, could you just imagine the things that could happen with this?
Well, what you just alluded to that maybe our listeners don't know about is that nanotech is like little robots. And they've been discussing this for over a decade, that the day will come when they're going to be using it to not only with a certain frequency or whatever to release medicine that's already in your body or a payload of some kind that will treat your lupus or whatever. So you don't got to keep taking a pill. You've already got all of this in your system. You've already taken it. And so in a controlled way, it releases its payload. Mm-hmm. Medicine, or it could be a virus. It could be a bacteria.
Exactly. That's my point. Could it do some awesome things? 100%.
Sure.
But then just remember, like, does it ever go like that? Does it ever go like the utopia that's promised?
What you're saying is, how many times have we been promised we're going to use it for this, and they use it for that?
Every time.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the scarier part. You start combining all this infrastructure. This is speculation, but one of the things that you got to wonder, why can't you just remove the mark of the beast? And there's a strong possibility that whatever this mark is
becomes part of you.
Not just part of you, but changes who you are and what it means to be human.
So you're talking like maybe alters DNA or...
Yeah, that this is a permanent change, and you are no longer what we would define as human.
Technically
today.
Though, haven't they been altering DNA for a long time?
I guess.
Because if you think about if you get any form of a vaccine, which, I mean, we've all had one.
Any virus. A virus technically changes you a little.
Well, but right. But if you're getting that from natural currents, there's obviously nothing you can do about it. But if you're getting that from...
Well, that was part of God's design, is that you change with it so you develop immunity.
Right. So yeah. My whole thing to that is, like, you can see the evidence of wanting to play God for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, they have learned to exploit God's creation like they have in many things.
And I think what's really scary is they are able to do some really, really cool things like that are just really fascinating.
One of the things that the Antichrist is going to be able to do that's going to impress the world is all these miraculous things that we're going to define. It's like, wow, you can do that and you could do that?
Right.
Wow.
But then we're never given the full story of, like, those miraculous things are never always used for good or for everyone's benefit.
Nor does it make you God.
Oh, imagine that. Imagine the power trip that you would get being able to create the things they create, or the technologies that they've been given or possess and that they're able to use.
Like making a test tube baby.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Imagine if you were able to do that. Like, that's got to be a power trip, right?
I think they called it a God complex.
Okay, there you go.
There's an actual name for it.
I feel like when you develop that and you really lean into having that, you don't have any boundaries.
I got to tell you a story.
Okay.
So last night we're with the kids teaching about the Tower of Babel. Again,
oh, yeah, I've said that.
Yeah, the first Antichrist. Mm-hmm. So we had the kids get up in pairs, just two people, and we gave you styrofoam cups to build the biggest tower you could.
Okay.
Well, the kids practiced as fast as they could, and they're competing with all the other teams. Then we said, okay, combine together into two separate groups. So all the kids came together in these huge groups with all their cups, were trying to work together with one language to build their own Tower of Babel.
Okay.
And it was so interesting with these little kids. They did what you're talking about. In the competition with each other, they're ridiculing the other group, saying, we're smarter than you. We can build it bigger and better. We have bigger brains, mm-hmm. all these things. And it's like, it's just... we are so predisposed to that arrogance, putting others down and look what I can do.
Well, and I, unfortunately, one of the negatives of our capitalistic society is that I must be better than you. I have to win.
Well, the farther we get from God as this nation was founded on, you're going to see that more and more. I think our faith in Christ is what arrested that mentality. It's still there, but it puts it in cuffs.
Sure.
And the further we get from Christ, the more selfish and narcissistic we become.
Well, right, because we used to have proper means of, and not that these don't still exist, but they're just, now I feel like this is more open and accepted and encouraged in society, so you see it in more avenues. But, you know, back in the day, you would play things like sports, or you could channel that I want to win. I want to be better than you. You would channel that into healthy avenues, right?
Yeah, and in order for the sports to work, there had to be a regulator of rules.
Exactly.
And today where we're at, the regulators are being
Everybody
removed.
Wants to play God in some capacity, and they want to be their regulator of their rules.
Right.
Which, in some ways, can that work in the short term? Sure.
Yeah.
But it's always going to come to a collision.
Yeah, because whose rules are we going to function under?
Right.
Well, the Antichrist.
Well, I say mine. And then you say, well, I say mine.
Well, the Antichrist says it's my rules.
Sure.
Bow and worship.
Mm-hmm.
Get the mark.
And I think biblically, when you apply what you're given as, you know, guidelines to follow or a pathway to stay within that we all obviously wander off of at times, right? When you follow those though and apply them as principles to your life, you can see why they're there. Like they make sense to proper living. Now, yeah, is it always what I want to do?
You do have to have some level of intelligence to grasp it. Like a child may not be able to appreciate it, or an adult who never grew out of childhood can appreciate it, right? They can't. But if you're educated, you have some critical thinking, yeah, absolutely.
Now, you could argue, you know, even if you're an atheist, you may argue the existence of God, okay. But you couldn't argue the principles that have been given by God or by the book of authors, as you would claim. You can't argue with their principles that they work.
Yeah,
and that they're for the
you.
Better.
Yeah, it benefits you, right.
And that's where you said earlier, you know, many atheists like the Christian value system and because it upholds... the civil society
that they enjoy.
But we gotta then also say, well, if we're going to enjoy those benefits, we must give credit to where they come from,
right? The source.
And if all these people over all of these years are giving credit to this one source, doesn't that seem like where we should apply the credit?
Well, it makes sense, unless your primary value system is yourself, and so then you want to give credit just to yourself.
Think about the people who died to stand as a witness testimony of Christ's existence, who literally were hung and pillaged and murdered.
Filleted to death.
Just to say, like, no, I know Christ was real. I spent time with him.
Yeah.
I know exactly
Crucified.
Who he
yeah.
was.
Yeah, they. I didn't hear a story about Jesus. I knew him personally. I saw what he did. I saw him rise from the dead. I saw him ascend into I saw him rise and ascend into the clouds. I watched it happen.
Right. And
I mean, that's why they were willing to die for it.
But think about it. You couldn't get 20 people today to do that same thing for something they wholeheartedly believed in. Somebody could come in and hold them up at their workplace and they'd say, everybody can go unless you believe in this.
Before Jesus ever died on the cross, they had a test of this. And if you'll remember, they all abandoned Jesus in the garden. Every one of them ran. But listen, they had not seen Jesus die and rise, which would have been the greatest miracle of all.
Right.
Rise
to know,
from the grave.
Like
that
to
truly
know
is.
For certainty, yeah. Like this dude really was who he said he was.
That was one of the big clincher moments. And listen, that's what makes Jesus different than all other religions, is that many have made all kinds of claims, but Jesus not only made the claim, he had the proofs.
True. And then the eyewitness testimonies.
Right, right.
How do you...
Historical accounts that are still recorded today. Listen, it changed how you mark your date. Like, what year is it? We know that because of Jesus. Like, even your secular people still mark their time by Jesus. Even the Antichrist will mark not only his time by Jesus, but when he comes, he claims to be Jesus.
And that makes sense for, as you say, like how groups of people are going to be deceived by that, because there are still people looking for...
The Jews are looking for
his
Messiah.
Return.
Yeah.
We obviously believe like he's already came.
I can't even say their name. The other Abrahamic faith that they also, because they're a religion of peace, but...
This is the Ishmaels versus the Isaacs.
Yes. And if you say them, then the religion of peace stops being peaceful just by talking about them. But they also are looking for a Messiah figure that the Antichrist is going to be. Hmm. And it's going to deceive people. Listen, Christians are looking for Jesus to come. The Bible warns you, not everyone who claims to be Jesus is. That's why we're told about the Antichrist. And we're also told, don't get the mark. When Christ comes, truly comes, he's coming to restore what was lost. He's going to bring Jerusalem down. He's going to come in the clouds, not magically appear on CNN. He's going to appear in the clouds, in the sky.
CNN. Oh, that's awesome.
The Clinton News Network, right?
Oh, that's good. And a pair of flip-flops and some sunglasses. What's up, guys? It's Jesus just hanging out here at CNN South Beach.
And you're going to see the angels and the saints with him in the sky. If you're still on earth when Christ comes, it's because you got truly left behind. But don't worry, it won't last long. You're going to be consumed in flames. When he comes, the new Jerusalem will go on top, superimposed on top of the one that currently exists. That's where we're going to preside. We're going to live there as saints.
The new Jerusalem.
The new Jerusalem. When all this happens, you're transformed. You're given a new body. Whether you're the Israel that's from Jacob's, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or if you are part of Israel because you were grafted in as a believer in Christ, Israel lives in the new Jerusalem.
Got it. All right. So all this.
Heaven on earth.
So where's the new Jerusalem going to be?
At Jerusalem. That's God's land. And Christ is going to come back and take what is rightfully his. He's the heir. The line Christ came from was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Now, do you think there's any chance that over time the land actually isn't like this? What they say is here isn't actually there, and this there isn't actually like things have been flipped and shifted over time as far as land goes.
Well, I know that nations have been redrawing territories for years. So sure. Yeah. When you buy a deed, most owners know where the property lines are.
Yeah. That's
fair. How much more so does God know the earth he made and what he calls his beautiful land?
Oh, no, I know God knows. Right. I'm talking for us. Like, is what we believe to be Jerusalem 100% actually Jerusalem?
Yeah, okay. I think the question, what you're trying to say is, for example, there is question about whether the highly contested area, the Dome of the Rock and the Temple Mount, is there a possibility that maybe the Temple Mount, where the second temple was built, is not where the first temple was built, that Solomon built? And there's good argument that maybe it was somewhere else, because it doesn't fit the description of the Old Testament of what that place was.
Hmm.
So I think we've talked about this before, if not on the podcast in person. One of the ways in which the Antichrist may be able to negotiate a truce with these two Abrahamic faiths, they'll let one keep their Dome of the Rock, because the Jews finally recognize that the Temple Mount isn't where they thought it was. It's over here. And so the third temple gets built. Still in Jerusalem.
So
it's just slightly in a different place. And we're talking,
therefore then, is there really a dispute?
There wouldn't be. And so both get to have their place. Both get to keep their sin. Okay. If you didn't know this.
Wouldn't that be like the ultimate accomplish? Like God gave then Ishmael what he said he would do. He gave him a place.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave then Isaac the inheritance that Isaac should have.
No. Well, the problem is that that dome is still, it's still a part of Isaac's inheritance and Jacob's inheritance that came, that was promised to Abraham. So it's still their territory.
That's my point.
Here's what Israel's done. Here's what Israel's done. They have allowed the UN and other nations to redraw the map, trying to negotiate what they'll give up.
That's my question. How do we know what the original map actually is?
Numbers 34.
Says what?
It tells you the boundary lines.
Which are what? I mean, you don't got to give me verbatim,
You're going to have to read it.
Okay.
Our podcast, people need to read it. And it tells you also which son gets it.
I know that answer.
Yep.
But so based on those...
It tells you from this river to this sea.
Okay.
So northern, southern, eastern, western boundary. It tells you everything. This is the boundary lines. So this is what I'm giving to Israel. It's theirs and everlasting. When Christ comes, he will rule in Jerusalem over all that territory. Here's the best part about this. All the other evil nations are gone. He wipes them out. They're gone. As the infrastructure is being built, you know, for example, the latest thing is the CBDC. What I would argue, maybe possibly, we don't know. It doesn't say this in the Bible, but when you see this CRISPR technology and they're able to give you an injection that will, it's an mRNA experiment that changes possibly your DNA, maybe you shouldn't do that, but whatever this is, it could combine all of these technologies into one day being that mark.
Basically like a smart chip.
That permanently alters you and binds that mark to you. It cannot be removed.
I would have to imagine in some ways it probably just becomes, like I said, a part of you.
Yeah.
Like it just like morphs into your...
Yeah, it's not a piece of jewelry you take off and on.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, even a good example of this being when the original shots came out in 2020, they said, you know, it just stays right in your deltoid, right? Almost like a, obviously not a chip material, but it gave me the idea of like a chip that you would just almost implant right in your arm, and then you'd be able to go in there and kind of remove it like how they have those birth control things. You know what I'm talking about?
Right, yeah, what they call
those? Those little rods or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then the studies started coming out and saying how they're finding this material in people's hearts and in...
Yeah, it migrated.
Their brains, their liver. I mean, all kinds of organs throughout the body. So it's almost, like I said, it becomes part of you.
Well, they hadn't done product testing yet, right? And so that was the test.
That was the product test.
But yes. And listen, again, I don't know that for sure that it's going to be an mRNA injection. I'm just saying it could be some other technology, but whatever it is, maybe the reason why you're not allowed to repent of getting the mark of the beast is because it changes you. Regardless, it tells you, even if you're sorry afterwards, it doesn't matter. It's unforgivable. Like if you get the mark, you're done.
Mm.
You're done. There's no going back.
Mm-mm.
So don't get it. And if it even looks like it,
don't get it. I could see...
they're going to threaten your life. They're going to threaten all your stuff. Don't get it.
I could see us getting ushered into some digital money too through a... If there's a... I mean, because if you ask most people, hey, would you want just solely digital money one day? Like everybody, for the most part, I feel like would say, nah, I'm good.
It sounds great because automatic deposit, automatic withdrawal... If you ever saw the movie Time where they exchanged...
Their current, like they all wore like
time,
watches.
Yeah, Well, the time was embedded into your arm and then you traded time like a currency.
Mm-hmm.
And so you traded your time to live to buy things. But the point is that if money would function like that, it's all traceable. The government always is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
It's convenient... But it's also convenient for them.
I could see what gets us there too is if there's some type of a massive crash that people are kind of left with no other decision in the real short term. Like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? What's going to happen with the stock market? What's going to happen with my job? You know what I mean? then I think we have the potential to create a situation where then all of a sudden it's being, well, we can roll out this digital dollar system. The old system it's broken for whatever reason.
Well, all fiat currencies crash eventually. I mean, right. 100% of the time they always do.
Yeah. Well, so especially it's going to happen. Ones that are backed by nothing other right. than confidence.
Right, right. But no, the other part of this too is the control part with Big Brother is it's not just they can see and tax you. That's irrelevant. They don't like your position on something. They didn't like your post. They didn't like the what was it? Canada did this with the trucker protest.
Oh yeah.
So they just turned off their bank accounts mm-hmm. and then you couldn't buy anything. That's kind of a big deal.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what they're going to be able to do. We don't like your positions. We don't like where you spend your Sunday mornings. We don't like, you know, that you had too many kids. We don't like you have a gasoline car. Whatever they want, you can't buy gas. You can't buy food.
Or, I mean, you could flip it around. You said food, but say you got something you like to. Maybe you like to. Oh, you like to gamble at the casino for fun as leisure. Well, that's you've been doing that too much. We're cutting you off from
you've
that.
You've had too much meat this week.
Yeah, you've had too much. You're all done with your meat.
Yep, sorry.
Sorry, we only allow 1 6-pack of beer per week. This is your second one. We're all done.
You can have tofu. You can have the bugs. And that's the whole point is control. Who wants ultimate control of this world? Oh, the Antichrist.
And I think, too, what people got to realize is just 5 years ago, if you would have said, do you ever think there's going to be transgender people reading books to children in libraries, them trying to push this stuff in schools, men playing on women's sports or playing in women's sports, or to the point where we're talking about you could be able to kill babies up till the 9th month and it'll just be totally, well, that's not happening, but it is happening. But just because it is happening, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Trafficking children?
Yeah, the people would be getting trafficked. You'd obviously say, well, no, that's crazy.
That's crazy talk, man.
But it was happening. And that's kind of, I think, the same with this here is that we got to think, man, just because it feels far off in the right now.
It may be right here.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, it can come on real fast. I mean, look how quickly in 2020, everybody was wearing masks and standing on X's 6 feet apart from each other because they were so afraid. Well, now you look back on it and you go, well, that was silly. Why would I ever have done that?
You don't want to look back and go, why did I do
and,
that?
And the simple reason for why you did it is because you were unprepared and you were afraid. That's why you were
ignorant and afraid. Don't be ignorant and don't be afraid. Listen, yes, they're going to threaten you. Yes, they're going to harm you. Yes, they're going to take from you. But if you do it, you're going to lose even more. But if you can go back to what Jesus said, he goes, look, I told you this in advance, not so you'd be afraid, but so you'd have courage because I'm coming back for you. And if anything, when you see these things happening, look, you know the return's fast. It's coming. And so, yeah, you may suffer for a little bit, but you're going to spend an eternity in glory. So don't worry about, don't trade your eternity for a moment of deliverance.
I think, too, with the return of Jesus and that aside, just any type of an event in general, we think, oh, that sounds crazy. That never happened today. These things happen so fast that I feel, even those who prepare for things are still never fully prepared, right?
It's like the people that happened with the most recent disaster with the hurricane.
Well, how would you prepare for that?
Well, they said they were sitting there and they could see the water outside. They turned around, checked something, and looked back in that same room, and it was waist-deep water. It'll be that fast. And then your house is being swept away. It's the same thing.
Mm. I just can't. I can't imagine what that, I mean, I hope to never figure that out, but for those people, what that was like.
Well, that's how Jesus says it's going to be when he returns. And you don't want to be the guy who was clueless, or the gal, clueless about what was coming. He told us in advance, and by the way, you atheist folks out there that I used to be, you got to wonder, if this book was all made up, how in the world did he get all this so right?
Ooh. We'll go ahead and end on that. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless.
You're listening to Blindly Obvious.